The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 580. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley, Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, guys, we have returned for another one of talking about these video games. For some reason, I feel like I should say some preamble, but I'm not going to do it. Let's just get into it. Xbox is back. Listen, man, Miss Asha Sharma's been there for like a month, two, and shit's already changing, you know? So I have three stories here for Xbox, so we're going to go through these. First one, the biggest one, Xbox Game Pass, just as the rumor said, actually, not only the rumors, just as the leaked memo said, Asha Sharma was not happy with the price of Game Pass, and it's lower now. Oh, by the way, I'm hearing some noise. I don't know where that's coming from. Brett, I'm suspecting that's you.
Nothing.
Okay.
I just hear nom, nom, and snacking and shit.
Hold on. What was I doing? Oh, yeah, anyway, so Xbox Game Pass is getting a price reduction, not by a lot, like $8, but as we suspected. What are they doing to reduce that price? They getting rid of Call of Duty day one. So there you go. Now it's $22.99. I'll double check that. But yeah, Manny, what are your thoughts while I look this up?
It makes sense, to be honest. That's the biggest. I hate to say this, but it was. It's also it's sort of a mistake that they put it on there because of the fact that nobody's buying. Nobody who's an install based person on Xbox is actually buying that game. Granted, it's a good deal, but they're not making any additional money off of it. Like, it's not making people subscribe to Game Pass because Call of Duty was on. So it was just sort of sitting there.
Yeah. And yes, I was correct. $29.99 to $22.99. So that's $7 if I'm doing my math correctly. Will drop from $16.49 to $13.99. So there you go.
That's like 25%, though.
Yeah, it's still a good amount. Or do you think that's not enough, Brett?
No, I think that's good. Like, honestly, if you get it close to $20, that's where they'll get you. Weirdly enough, like I'm flip flopping on Microsoft like crazy lately. Okay.
So are Xbox influencers.
The weird thing is like. I've gone from like it's stuff like this, and I'm like, okay, actually, the Xbox division is kind of not doing bad, and surprisingly enough, this chick is doing okay. Meanwhile, like, I have now gained a new and fiery hatred for Microsoft as a parent corporation after their bullshit Outlook One file fucking Robin bullshit. Motherfucker came into my house and took files off of my desktop. As far as I'm concerned, that's kicking my door down and fucking stealing from me and then trying to hold that shit ransom. This is some Norton Utilities ransom bullshit, and I am not fucking having it.
Yeah. Yeah, Microsoft sucks. You know what? I'll read this statement because it's short. Starting today, Game Pass Ultimate drops from $29.99 to $22.99 a month. I already talked about PC Game Pass. Beginning this year, future Call of Duty titles won't join Game Pass or PC Game Pass at launch. New Call of Duty games will be added to Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass during the following holiday season, about a year later, while existing Call of Duty titles already in the library will continue to be available. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers will continue to have access to hundreds of games on Xbox consoles and PC, including current Call of Duty titles, in-game benefits, online, multiplayer, you know, the usual stuff. Anyway, so yeah. You're still getting the same benefits, but yeah, Call of Duty, you're going to get your Call of Duties just a year after the fact. you know? And that was how I saw some people saying, like, yo, take Fortnite and shit off of that. Bring the price down even more. You know, maybe they will, because if you grind that shit down to a nice, you know, $20, $19.99, you know, that might get people back. I already saw people on Twitter going, yo, I'm back right now, son. You know, so kind of interesting. Chris, what are your thoughts about this, bro?
Well, if she's making changes like that, I'm going to have to catch some crows to bake, and I'm going to have to issue an apology.
Yeah.
Damn, I honestly, like, that branding is huge. Like, you know, I know people get it, right? The Microsoft gaming shit and all that stuff, that El Generico branding.
Oh, we're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Right now, we're talking about the Game Pass price drop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, the Game Pass price drop, huge. That is huge. That'll turn things around. And honestly, yeah, there's plenty of people that don't play Call of Duty that would love to keep getting their games or whatever. I think that's huge. I think that's a great move. And honestly, like, you know, you wonder what the hell was going on with Sarah Bond and Phil Spencer. Like, what they were just subsidizing Activision at that point, right? It's like, so you jacked up the price just to, what, subsidize the cost of Call of Duty? Is that it? And she just undid it? Like, all right, I'm impressed.
Pretty crazy stuff. Rich, what do you think, man? Are you going to resubscribe to Game Pass?
Absolutely not. I mean, first and foremost, as a person who is a media individual, I mean, yeah, I can definitely get access to Game Pass. So don't have to always subscribe, but... Yes, I do give them props. I think this was a good move, taking Call of Duty out. Yeah, it makes sense to me. However, I will say, because Chris made the comment that, Microsoft acquired Activision, and yet there's plenty of other Activision games that still haven't come to Game Pass. So I don't really know what that's about, because they have older titles that they could release, but clearly there's some issues with that entire process. But, overall, yeah, a good move. I'm not ready to say the Xbox is back fully, because, you know, I got to see a lot more, but good move so far.
Yeah. What about you, Carlos? What's your take?
Yeah, this is a pretty decent first step. I mean, we got to start somewhere. It's got to have something. It needed to start. Okay.
No, I was going to say, Carlos pulled a Amazing Spider-Man, where you say, with great power comes great responsibility, but without actually saying it. So you said, got to have something, but without saying it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it always comes out.
Got to have something. I think,
there you go. You know, it's something that needed to be done. Obviously, the stuff with Call of Duty, I feel like they're way, you know, they're more profitable if they're not in Game Pass. Because I feel like still a lot of people that played on Xbox is still going to buy it, you know, and most of them are on PlayStation anyway. So I don't think that's even worth, you know, having on the subscription tier anymore, unless you're making it exclusive, which they're obviously not. So yeah, I feel like this is a good first step.
Yeah. Pablo Fumale on YouTube saying Xbox is overpriced. Yeah, it is, but we're not talking about the Xbox Series X right now. We're talking about Game Pass, you know? So yeah, again, even though I still think it would have been better if they would have dropped it $10. Got to have something, you know, so I'll take it. Good stuff. Good on Xbox. And then the next thing, and Chris, you already alluded to this, so you could jump on this first. Microsoft Gaming is done. We're going back to Xbox. That's the branding we're going with. So go ahead, Chris. We'll continue your thoughts, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on the show when it was the reverse, when we said the brand was dying and they were literally just making it Microsoft Gaming, and we're like, Xbox is dead, man. They just just kill the brand or whatever. Like, this is huge because the brand has a lot of weight. It is a brand that is with gaming, right? You can't associate one with the other. And giving it a generic name like Microsoft Gaming is like, you just have one foot out the door, basically. That's what it looked like. It's like, they're going to wrap up Xbox. It's just going to become a cloud service. No more consoles. Forget exclusives. Like, everything was going in the wrong direction. So pulling the brand back is a great sign. And that builds consumer confidence that there is something worth hanging on to and maybe playing on Xbox. Now, we'll have to see. There has to be other strategic maneuvers with especially the games. Like the games are more are so important. I know they talked about Project Helix,
yeah,
with the next system, but Project Helix doesn't. It's not that big of a deal. The software matters. It's like, what are you gonna do? The next Gears, the next Halo, the next whatever. Are you gonna try to revive some of the other IPs? You have a fighting game IP. Yeah, Perfect Dark got canceled. Are you gonna bring that back? You got to figure out something to get people playing on, and you have ownership of Activision Blizzard. You got to start refactoring all that stuff and bringing out IPs and titles that people want to play. So that's the big move I want to see happen. It's like she's saying the right things. She's making the right moves. I think that's kind of quick wins, right?
Yeah.
The reducing Game Pass price. Xbox branding is coming back. This is Xbox. It'll always be Xbox. Great move, great statement, gets people's confidence up. The next move has to be like, hey, you know this ugly hobgoblin in Fable? Well, fuck that. We're bringing Fable back, everything. Bringing sexy back, whatever. Just start fixing the games and start bringing back strong IP.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm going to kind of skim this article from Mr. Tom Warren over on The Verge. So basically, Asha Sharma held like a town meeting or whatever, town hall meeting or whatever the fuck it is, over at Xbox today. And one of the things is like, hey, Xbox needs to be our identity. We're done with this Microsoft's gaming shit, right? And apparently they're plastering, you know, what a return of Xbox all over the walls, you know, over there, which is pretty interesting. So they're plastering return of Xbox and return of play. Because she's like, we lost sight of what Xbox is supposed to be. We got to get back to that. Like, what the fuck is Microsoft gaming? I agree.
Okay.
I agree with that. Yeah.
How in the tits on this bitch? honestly, like, first of all, fucking respect. But, like, how the fuck did you walk into a building full of senior executives and just go, look at me. I'm the captain now. This is how we're doing things.
Well, they did make her Xbox CEO.
Yes. What's that?
You know, she is Xbox CEO, kind of what she says goes, I know.
But, like, she didn't have a big proven track record. So, like, I don't know, man. I feel like she didn't have a lot of the authority. But she's again, respect. But, like, I did not see somebody as young and new as she was coming from a field that wasn't already vetted and dominant. You know, it's kind of coming from an AI field, just coming and swinging her dick around. Fuck yeah. All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's making moves. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's, you just got to think about it. Losing the branding, you know, of Xbox from that is kind of demeaning to the brand. It's like saying Project failed, you know, unsuccessful. You failed the test because, you know, that's, you built up that brand for decades. And just to, you know, put a Microsoft gaming on it, I don't know, man. It feels like when your kids take your stepdad's last name or something. I don't
know. Damn.
It's no bueno, but you know, they're getting the last name back, you know? Hopefully, you know, they take their more of their identity and not the identity of the overall umbrella. And because eventually they're a couple of weeks away from it being Copilot gaming. For all we know,
look. I mean, so, it was heading that way, wasn't it? You know,
mm-hmm. They do have it on, you know, your little Xbox app there. There is an AI unit inside of there. For what, I don't know, but
it's crazy.
Tabs or something.
Yeah. By the way, these memes, the Xbox guys are on a roll right now. They're like, yo, we're back, man. We're back.
I'm going to say this, like, you know, right now it's just words and posters. Yeah. Let's see some things. Let's see some action. Like, I don't like, you know, it's like when you get a new president, right? You know, they say a bunch of stuff at the beginning and then they tell you later on, oh, hey, you know, not everything can be done the way we expected or wanted. So let's see the ball rolling. Well, actually rolling instead of just sort of like, you know, championing the visual.
Yeah,
I do agree. But I do also want to lightly push back on one, reversing branding in the face of a big corporation like that. Not necessarily an easy task, but more importantly, too, bitch already dropped the price of Game Pass. So that's kind of, in my opinion, I'm like, oh, shit, already did roll a little bit.
Yeah. One thing I will say, Manny, I agree with everything that you said, but you got to see it from the Xbox fanboy standpoint, right? They've had over 10 years of nothing but fucking L's. They're going to take any sign of hope they can. So I get it. I get it, man. You know, these motherfuckers are out there in the middle of the ocean. It's freezing. They got a little, not even a lifeboat, just a little floaty thing. It got to have something, you know?
Yeah, I can't wait. It'll be interesting seeing when they turn against Phil Spencer.
Oh, shit.
You know, who was their boy.
Hold on, man. You're fucking me up right now. We should take bets. How long until that happens?
How long until they turn against
Phil Spencer?
Yeah, fuck Phil Spencer.
It's all about Mommy Sharma now, son. Yeah,
they'll turn against him real quick if she comes out on the stage and announces Scalebound is back. And
shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
How long does it take to prove somebody incompetent?
I mean, Phil Spencer could have done this, right? He could have lowered the price.
Yeah, he could have.
He could have.
Phil Spencer's the one that let that shit get to $30 in the first place.
Yeah. Phil Spencer could have said, hey, you know, Xbox Gaming, this is, no, we're not doing this. He could have done that. Just throwing it out there, you know? Very interesting. But yeah, man, you get it, right? Like, you got to give these guys a little something. I get it. I get why they're happy. Because this has just been nothing but bad news for 10 years, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, like, yeah, I feel like the last nail in the coffin was where Xbox was everywhere, right?
Yeah, and they got rid of that. They got rid of the whole "this is an Xbox." That shit is done.
This is an Xbox. The first thing I asked when I saw that logo, I'm like, "Is that an Xbox?"
Yeah, it is. It is the Xbox. Segway Kings. That's the next thing we're gonna talk about. The new Xbox logo. Because for a while, it's just basically been like a black and white flat Xbox. Now we're back to the green, baby, and we got shades and everything, textures.
What the fuck is going on?
Brett, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's that new old jewel look that everything on the fucking iPhone has now. It looks like glass.
The glass thing. Yeah. Again, the logo is not a radical redesign, but at least it has more personality than that just black and white one, you know.
Branding direction is fucking huge. Like, brand specialist is his own fucking thing. Like, people put way, way too much money in this shit. Way too much money. So I don't know, man. That's
they didn't just throw it at a co-pilot.
Yeah, they could have.
I mean, they could have.
Yeah, they probably did.
Usha Sharma's like typing it into co-pilot. What should I do when there's this? Switch it back. Make exclusives. They're like, okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Imagine if a co-pilot said that. I mean. There you go, Carlos. There you go. And you know what I like about this new logo? It's kind of reminiscent of like the original Xbox. Remember, the original Xbox was black and green, you know? So that's cool. Again, not a big change, but it's a change. It's a change. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing, man.
They kind of flip-flopped with that other logo. It was like a flat green.
Yeah.
It was a black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember, it was like flat, like white and black. That was one of the other ones. You know, kind of like the Xbox button on the console. But yeah, Team Green is back, baby. You know, so very interesting. But, you know, but Chris, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, but you are right. It's like, let's get these little wins first, and then we got to get to the big stuff, you know? But yeah, what do you think about, you know, this logo, what this signifies?
Oh, I think it's strategic. She wants the brand to have edge. But she wants it's like a rebirth of Xbox. So, you know, there's going to be subtle changes. Like, she's not going to bring back the original logo, but it's nice. I think it's nice. It's a good design.
Isn't it also the anniversary?
I don't know. Somebody get Max Boot in here. Not Max. Yeah. What's his name? Max Booty.
What? I know Xbox 360 was 20 last year.
Yes.
It was last year, right? 2005 is when it came out.
2005.
Yeah.
Xbox is celebrating the 25th anniversary in 2026.
So there you go.
Hence why we're hearkening back to an older era.
Yeah, and it is apparently a quote Microsoft Gaming describes our structure, but it does not describe our ambition. So we are going back to where we started and changing our team's name. Shit. That's it. Damn. You know? But yeah, so yeah, big week for Xbox. And the fans are happy. So, but again, I do find it funny though. These same guys who were shitting on Xbox, now they're back. I'm like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have shit on them. Tim Dog, where you at, bro? Where you at?
come November 15th, I would say something.
Ooh, for the actual anniversary, right?
That's the actual anniversary, November 15th, 2021.
Mm, we shall see. But there you go.
Shall your... see, said the blind man.
Yes. So there's your Xbox news. Moving on here, Assassin's Creed Black Flag resynced, people. It's real. The rumors were true. It's dropping July 9th, and Ubisoft wrote a whole blog post about it. I believe they even have a video.
They have like a 28-minute video.
Yeah, did you see it, Manny?
Oh, yeah, I had a look at it.
Give us the scoop.
Oh, okay, so they say in the video, they say it's from the ground up. I disagree with that assessment. For one reason, it is not a from the ground up remake. It is essentially using what was there, kind of like the way Metal Gear is, which is not a bad thing. It's like what Delta did.
Yeah, you like Delta.
Delta, they did a good job. They kept all the cinematics as you remember them are still intact. The characters and the environments have been, you know, re-arted. So everything looks all nice and sexy. And they also have, abilities that are from the original, you know, from the later games that have been in included. So now, he can crouch walk where he couldn't do that before.
Yeah.
Just essentially, you know, also track, like one of the things they sort of mentioned in there, like where you, when you're tailing somebody and they sort of like get a glimpse of you, and then you instantly desync, and then you have to restart it again.
Oh shit!
So now it's just if they see you, you just get into fights. They also smooth that a lot of the motions, so the motions are a lot smoother. So it's all across the board, sexy level up of that game. You know, when I was, it's funny, I was looking at it, on its own, and I was like, this looks about the same. And then I saw a side by side of the original one, and I was like, "Oh, that does not look the same."
Oh,
no, cool. They definitely, it is a pretty big jump. Like I was like, "Oh yeah, it looks about like what I remember." The other thing they said they did is they did call in a bunch of fans and influencers and stuff to sort of talk about the things that were wrong with the game that they could improve. So they had this whole big thing and a bunch of people came in and to sort of talked about it. So that's why there's a bunch of nice quality of life fixes and all kinds of other things. They also commented on like how his face looks and how other characters should look, kinds of other things. By the way, one thing that that sort of gets a little bit glossed over is the team that worked on this.
Oh, yeah.
They did a certain game that had pirate ships in it.
Oh, yes.
Skull and Bones team.
Yeah.
So I suspect they definitely, like Skull and Bones team was definitely sort of like a middle wave between this Assassin's Creed game and the other ones.
Yeah.
They were working on this in between there. So it makes sense to me why they sort of gotten them to sort of, import this game and also use a lot of the stuff that they sort of implemented for Skull and Bones for this game, because a lot of those assets and a lot of that sort of stuff could all be really used again to sort of, sexy up this title. So, it makes sense to me though why they went with them to sort of like, okay, we're going to do a whole remake of this. Again, I can't really call it a remake because it's not really a remake. If it was a remake, it would be Resident Evil. Where they totally smoothed out everything. No, everything that's in the original game is in this game with an additional three other people. So they added three new characters to the game, which add abilities to your ship.
And it says there's new stories too.
Yep, there's new stories. So they added new stories to it. So it's what you had originally, but plus a bunch of additional stuff. So
that's cool.
Like, so did the person reliving this part of Edward Kenway's life? Did they just remember that? Oh yeah. Oh hey. Oh yeah. That did happen, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, it would be more like, hey, the program you're running, you know, we actually unlock this because the person wasn't remembering. It's like they went to the facility because now anybody could do this stuff. You know, you don't need to be like a family member. By the way, real quick, shout out to Black Metal Gamer for the $2. Appreciate it.
The only thing, I didn't get far enough to where they talked about the stupid first-person mode and Animus, the commentary on video game development in that game. I didn't get to any talk about that. I just got to the other part, the parts of it where they talk about the actual game itself and not that other first-person. I mean, the rumor was that they were going to just remove that shit.
I didn't see this thing, so I can't comment. Rich, do you know anything about that? By any chance?
What was that last part you mentioned?
Manny, go ahead.
About Assassin's Creed?
So there was a rumor that this, and for this remake, and it's been for a while, that they're going to remake this game and they were going to remove all of the outside of the outside of the Animus stuff, like the first person stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not, and I didn't get it far enough in this Ubisoft presentation to if they did any mention it. No. Tony, you said they have a big old thing that they wrote about it.
Yeah, let me see about that. But before that, Rich, I do want to get your thoughts if you, because I know you know about some of this stuff as well. What your thoughts are on this quote unquote remake?
Well, actually, I don't know too much about it because I understand maybe there was going to be some type of thing in the future. There's going to be some type of events coming in the future. Will there be coverage about it? But all I know is the exact same stuff that Manny knows with the video that came out today. And I do know that, Tony, this is actually one of your most anticipated games for this fall. So, well, no, this summer, I have to say.
I'm not going to say most, but I will say anticipated games. For sure. Yeah. Did you get to check out this video by any chance?
Yeah. I mean, I think the game looks great. I definitely have seen enough to say I want to jump back into it. I think it coming out in July is great because that's right in the middle of summer. There's not going to be too much coming out that month, if anything at all. So people will have a chance to check it out because obviously it's going to get very busy once you get into August and September. But no, I like some of the changes they mentioned. I like that they have updated some stuff. And I also did hear the same thing Manny mentioned about the them taking the Animus stuff out the game.
I heard that too. But I just did a quick look here. Shift F. And I didn't see anything there. I'll give you guys a quick rundown. I'm not going to, because there's a lot of bullet points. I'm just going to give you the headline of each. Graphical and technological enhancements. Because it's running on the new engine that Assassin's Creed Shadows is running on. It even has, it supports micro polygon and physical based rendering, which is interesting. Ray tracing.
In the Avatar.
Game. New and enhanced features, quests and stories, reworked action adventure combat, new and enhanced stealth gameplay, reworked naval combat, enhanced parkour moves, and dynamic weather and objects. Again, each of those has like a bunch of subsections under them. But it seems pretty significant.
Didn't it already have dynamic weather?
Yeah, but it has more dynamic weather. because it says
right here.
It says with...
It's dynamicer, Manny.
Dynamicer, there you go. With Anvil's Atmos system, the weather of the Caribbean becomes a character in its own right and brings the seas to life. Very cool. I wonder if in the first game it wasn't really dynamic. It was more like scripted. It could have been, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like the other one wasn't like fully scripted. Like the first game that had all that ship stuff in it, level 3.
Yeah.
I mean, you got all kinds of funky things that would happen if you while you were out there.
But yeah, they said they reworked it. Dynamicer. We're going to stick with that.
Dynamicer.
Yeah. But yeah, wild stuff. July 9th. So, if there's nothing else to play, check it out. I will say, Black Flag is absolutely one of the better Assassin's Creed games. So, I understand why they're remaking it.
I wish they would just take the Ezio trilogy and throw that into make one super fucking game with that shit.
That'd be awesome, yeah. But they're not going to do that. All right, so there's that. Moving on here, we're going to talk about some sales number stuff. Manny, your favorite game, Pragmata, has sold 1 million copies in just a couple of days.
Hey,
new IP.
2 days. Yeah.
New IP doing that. You know, yeah, so I guess, go ahead.
It's definitely a shot in the dark for them. And yeah. They're doing all kinds of fun, they're doing all kinds of, I feel like, different promotional things for it too. Like right now it's interesting. They just put out like a free 3D model of one of the characters, the little cabin robot. You can actually download that and print yourself out a little cabin robot to put on your desk. It's cute. So
that's fun.
You can have him if you manage to get yourself the Diana amiibo, you can get a little cabin guy to stand with.
So good stuff. I'm glad to see that stupid controversy on Twitter hasn't affected things.
I feel like all of that is just, some people just grasping at straws for shit to go. There was also another thing that sort of popped up with like people getting like saying that something about the voice actress who plays Diana because she's a black woman.
Yeah.
Saying stuff like that, like
who cares?
some guy was saying something about that. And I'm like, dude, you realize, there are plenty of black actresses that have played white roles. That's the point of being an actor, right? You can play all kinds of different roles, right?
Kratos.
Yeah.
Right.
Kratos. I mean, like Cree Summers plays like a bunch of like little girls and black girls, white girls, all kinds of things. That this lady, for you Elden Rings fans, she plays the little child pot. I can't remember what his name is. Chris. It's the little the cute little tiny pot guy. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Not that I know who you're talking about. He's in the jar.
He calls you cuz. He's like, "Hey cuz."
Yeah, it's her.
It's the same lady that plays Diana Pragmata.
So. She did a good job to me, so I don't really care. Listen, if you're a voice actor, who gives a fuck?
And the other crazy thing is she's British, so you don't even hear any of that Britishness inside of her voice. So,
well, I mean, they British people generally do a pretty good job of American accents. It doesn't work the other way around. Americans kind of do a shitty job of doing British
Christian
accents.
Bale has that weird mouth that happens when he's
but that's the exception to the rule. Generally speaking, you know how many times I'm like, wait, they're fucking British? I thought they're American. but yeah, just because there's one exception doesn't mean that the whole rule's gone. But usually the other way around doesn't work very well, man. Like when American tries to do a British accent, it's like,
oh, you mean like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins? Oh, you're Mary Poppins, it is.
Yeah. So yeah, good on Pragmata. Game's dope. Go play it. Highly recommend.
Yeah, go play it. I'm at the what I call the embargo point.
Damn.
The water, the sea. I mean.
Yeah. And then we're gonna talk about. Okay, we kind of knew this was gonna be a hit, but here's one that's really interesting sales numbers wise. Forza Horizon 5 on PS5 has quietly sold 5 million copies.
Some people like some cars, man.
Yeah. So this begs the question, because remember, we're hearing rumors, and nothing's been confirmed yet. We're hearing rumors that Xbox is going to pull away from, multiplat. I'm like, no, they're fucking not. They're making this much money,
I think they're going to treat it like the way Sony, like PlayStation, the way like PlayStation's their PC games.
Yeah.
Where they release it a while off. But here's the question. Here's the thing. Like, we're still in that initiative right now. Gears of War E-Day is still coming out on PlayStation.
Yeah. Do we know that for a fact?
No.
Yeah. So we know that for a fact.
Because I don't know. It was announced on there, right?
I don't want to make that a definitive statement. But at the same time, going back to what we were talking about before, maybe Asha Sharma has the big balls. Like, you know what? No, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck how much money we made. Xbox, branding, let's go back. I would give her props for that, because I believe in exclusives, but they sold a lot of copies, man. And to be fair, Forza Horizon 5 is pretty fucking dope, so good on them. I'm curious to see if they're going to abandon, multiplats, in light of that shit, that's a lot of money, what do you guys think about Forza doing so well?
What's up, Andy? It's not officially announced.
Yeah, PS5. So gotta be careful there. Anyway, any thoughts on Forza Horizon 5 selling so well on the PS5?
These people are hungry, man. Sony, PlayStation, PlayStation people are home are hungry because, like, how many card games do you get on there?
Shit.
Well, I'd be curious to see how did it do against, like, Gran Turismo. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's Gran a good point.
On PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna.
If this outsold or outpaced Gran Turismo, that would be nuts.
Yeah, I think Gran Turismo probably sold more, but still, that 5 billion is nothing to sneeze at, man. You know, that is crazy.
I feel like though, when it comes to like those card games, there, you know, years ago, those things used to be as timely as friggin' like football game. You got a card game, you know, a third, a fourth in those games, like not far from each other. It's Gran Turismo that's the one that takes like 10 years to make because homeboy's obsessing over mufflers.
Yes, it's true. You know, it's homie's name. I'm not forgetting it. But yes, that dude is crazy. All right, so moving on here. This one's interesting. This is actually what started off this week. Mr. Shuhei Yoshida broke down why he was fired from PlayStation, and he—that's his word.
It's
fired.
So, the thing is that what it looks like he's not talking about the. I think he was fired. I think he really was talking about why he was fired from the position of
. That's exactly what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, from, you know, because before he took on the indie role, he had this had the worldwide studios position, and I think that's what he was. Not like him leaving and retiring and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. But you know how the headline twisted things. But no, that's exactly what it was. That's why he was, quote unquote, fired from being like the head of studios and stuff. Basically, you know, he questioned a lot of Jim Ryan's decisions. Jim Ryan didn't like that. So he gave him, I'm going to say, the window seat. Yes, he was doing stuff with indies, but he gave him the window seat, you know?
But I'll tell you this. Shohei Yoshida still got some shit in, didn't he? Stellar Blade, that was him.
That was him, got that in.
So, you know.
Yeah, so he just
slipped it under the door, you know?
So here's what he says. This is from him. In 2019, after 11 years leading the first-party development team, I was fired from the role. Jim Ryan wanted to remove me from first party because I didn't listen to him. He asked me to do some ridiculous things, and I said no. Man. He didn't elaborate on what those ridiculous things were, but, you know, pretty sure. Go ahead, Chris.
We could guess.
Yeah, we could guess. Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Guess. Take it over. What are your thoughts?
I could guess 12 of them.
Yeah, 12 of them.
I was going to say, Carlos didn't have his old catchphrase.
Oh, no. Fuck Jim Ryan.
There we go. Man, I can only imagine what he said. Shuhei, I'll give him a lot of credit. He drew a line in the sand, sacrificed his job.
No.
Probably would be like, yeah, we should make a rainbow PlayStation logo or something like that. Like, no, let's not do that. Let's not.
Yeah, right. But yeah, pretty interesting.
I mean, it looks like they try to step in someone's shoes and they found out.
Oh man.
Yeah, this is just part of the Jim Ryan resume of failures that, you know, we keep piling up.
We got a nice big tally of them.
Oh yeah, there's a lot. And this is another one. I mean, they did their whole pivot to games as a service, and you know, probably Shu had some inkling of that's the direction that they wanted to go. He said no. And now he's talking to shit. Good for him.
He said the thing about it. There's another interview that also plays in that sort of space. And he's like, you know, there was all this, we're chased all these things and we moved away from the things that we were good at.
Mm-hmm.
Even what's his face? Daffy chimed in on this and he's like, yeah, that regime literally stripped away all the good things that were PlayStation.
Shit. It's true.
So y'all PlayStation out there heads who think that Jim Ryan was your god, what the fuck did he do?
Yeah.
You know?
He ruined it. He played himself?
Yeah. I'll be honest. You know why the rat, I'm going to say this, the rat jumped the ship when shit got hard.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No, he jumped because he knew what the fuck he did. Like, he knew that he fucked up so badly. And then unlike in the PS3 era, where all those motherfuckers stuck around and figured out how to get this shit right, which gave Jim his momentum when he was coming in from PlayStation, you know, coming in at the end of PlayStation 4, right? It was their work. Yeah. It was Shuhei Yoshida. It was Gio Corsi. It was all those guys that did that shit that got the that righted that ship. And then this dude just jumped in all like, oh, well, you know, just do this and that. Because he didn't have to work for any of it. He inherited it.
It's true.
And what has he got now? What? And so then rather than come back, rather than at the end being like, okay, I'm going to pivot. We're going to set this shit right. No, what does he do? He starts fucking closing studios and then jumps ship before the end.
Yeah, he's a rat.
Fucking clown. Like you said.
Here's the thing. He's a rat. The firing of Shuhei Yoshida started Concordian Timeline.
Yes. Yeah, you know, Jim Ryan approved that shit.
And, you know, shout out to Riku. Riku's been, cautious. I would say extremely cautious about, you know, the harms of Herman Holtz and his stewardship.
That's the reason why, you know, Herman has the position he does is because he nodded his head yes when somebody like Yoshida saying, hey, no, we should not do that. We should continue to do it as we were. That's what got us here.
Yeah. Right. You're right. Shout out to Otaku Man. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Otaku Man?
All right, good stuff. All right, and other bad news. This one's very upsetting. this is more of a follow-up.
Oh, no.
More of a follow-up to what we talked about with Negoshi Studios. So I'm going to just read. This is a short article from GameStop. The future of Gang of Dragon, the freshman effort from Sega veteran Toshihiro Nagoshi's eponymous Negoshi Studio now appears more murky, as noticed by observers on Reddit. As Redditors observed, why are you writing with a passive voice? Anyway, that's the editor in me. Like, what are you doing? That's not. Anyway, the studio has deleted its YouTube channel and all related videos. While Gang of Dragon trailer, which made its debut at the Game Awards 2005, is still available on the award show's dedicated channel, the various supplementary materials regarding the developer from its own channel has now vanished off the internet entirely. This all comes after recent reports that Negoshi Studio is facing financial struggles. According to Bloomberg, the studio's previous funding partner, the China-based tech giant NetEase, has backed out of further funding for the title, which is estimated to cost around $44 million to complete. This has essentially put the future of the game in limbo, with the original article reporting stating that while Negoshi Studio is looking for funding partners, it has not reached any deals, and the current funding is due to run dry in May, which is of this writing just a week away. Fuck! GameSpot has requested comment, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, historically, a developer deleting a social media channel has never been a good sign for its future health. As much as longtime Yakuza series fans may be holding out hope, it's increasingly likely that this gang is disbanding before ever making its mark. I agree with that statement. You know, I think this is it. Unless they can find Sharma, where you at? You better get in here, save these motherfuckers. You know, that's a shame, man. Because the trailer cool, you know, we like Negoshi around these parts, but you know, NetEase, man, you know, what can you expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to pay the money for this game, so this may be another agent game. They just never dropping. You just get your trailer, and that's it.
I mean, I hate to say this, but you know, there's a lot of these sort of companies that are like this, that are like investing in this stuff and not paying everything off. I mean, weren't we just talking about another one, or he was trying to, he asked the AI how to skim money away from companies?
Oh, yes. I saw that story, you know?
Yes. So it's not NetEase, by the way.
No,
it's
not
it. It was another studio.
It was PUBG.
It was the guys who do PUBG, so.
Yeah, how do I fuck over other studios? So insane.
Yeah, how do I get? Yeah, because it was for another game that they were developing by this company.
Well, no, he promised bonuses. He promised something like $250 million in bonuses. He asked the AI how to get out of it. His lawyers advised him not to do it. He did it. And in the court deposition and a lawsuit, the developers, they read his ChatGPT logs. So they know what he did, right? And he thought that was privileged information, like he's an idiot.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Such an insane story. Your lawyers are telling you, don't listen to what the AI is telling you. He does it anyway.
The AI, also, the AI told him not to do it either, by the way. Oh.
This guy's just like a dumbass.
It said something along the lines of, like, I strongly suggest you do not do this. So he's like, nah.
There was no stopping this man's idiocy.
Train was running. Like, that bitch wasn't stopping.
He's like, I intend to fuck these.
Damn.
Bro, like, this, I don't think I've ever seen a more clear real world example of this sign can't stop me. I can't read.
Yeah, right. And again, he did this all like, oh, no one's going to be able to read this shit anyway. Who cares? Oh, man. I love it when idiots get their comeuppance, man. But I'm not happy about the Negoshi Studio thing. That's not good.
No, it sucks because it's like we just saw it. We just saw an announcement for it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. This story is more for me because I want to talk about this. This is funny to me. Oh, what's up? I hear a cat.
The cat is disappointed too.
Yeah, I heard the cat.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this week, the roster of season 4 of Street Fighter 6 got quote unquote leaked. And the guy who leaked it is the guy who accurately got season 3 right. But here's the interesting about the roster, right? We got some of the usuals, you know, Gaukin, Vega, one other character, right? But here's the big one, Tifa from Final Fantasy VII, right? Now, what's funny about this is Tekken fans have been asking for Tifa for over 10 years. We want Tifa in Tekken. And now she may be coming to Street Fighter? That shit is funny to me. So the Tekken community has just been having a fucking meltdown, right? And here's my theory about this. Because Street Fighter, yes, it has people with crazy powers and stuff, but it's never had interdimensional shit, right? But Ingrid's coming to the game, right? In a month from now. Ingrid, for those who don't know, is an extra dimensional being that was originally from Capcom Fighting All-Stars, right? She was actually originally from a canceled fighting game, but they just brought over. She's like an extra, she's an extra dimensional being who's like supposedly the most powerful being in the Capcom universe, right? She's coming to Street Fighter somehow. So my guess is she shows up and causes some extra dimensional shit, and this is how you get other characters from other games. You know, putting that out there. That's my Miss Cleo moment.
But wait.
Yeah.
How does that explain Terry Bogard and what's her face? They were already there.
Yeah. But the thing is, Southtown is just part of the world. You know, like you don't have to explain anything. They're just like, hey, you fly to Southtown. There it is. It's on the map. You know what I mean? So that's what I think. But my thing is, I just find it funny that these Tekken guys, like, they've been asking for this shit for years. And who they get? They got Clive from Final Fantasy 16 instead. And they were not happy about that. Shout out to Ben Starr.
They got Clive and Noctis.
Yeah. But the girl they wanted Tifa, not her. Granted, I think she will be a good fit for Street Fighter because she's a melee brawler type of character.
Yeah.
So obviously, huge rumor, take it with a grain of salt, but I hope it happens. Not just because I want to check out Tifa. I just want to see the Tekken guys melt. It'll be so funny.
Oh, no.
That's what I want. And nothing against the Tekken guys, but I'm going to say this about Tekken, man. No one hates Tekken more than the Tekken community. These guys complain about everything, you know? So we're going to see what kind of meltdowns these guys have, but pretty interesting stuff. But if Tifa is in his game, that opens the door for a bunch of shit for Capcom to do. You know, characters from other fucking franchises or even some of their own, right? Hey, if we're going to be doing some extra dimensional shit, Dante's in this bitch now. Mega Man's in this, you know, Captain Commando. You know, you never know. So again, rumor, but we'll see what happens. I'm an idiot. The other guy that's supposed to be coming. This one I've been talking about for a while. Motherfucking Mike Hagar, right? Because ever since Street Fighter 6 came out, I was like, why is there a Hagar Memorial fucking park? Is he dead? What the fuck happened? You know, where the hell is Mike Hagar? You know, so that'll be cool if he's there. Even though he's going to play a lot like Zangief, but we'll see, man. Good stuff. And then the last story, what's up, Manny?
Wasn't the last thing he was actually in that Versus game.
It was a Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3, right? Yeah, I thought he was also in a Tekken versus.
He could have been. Game. I'm not sure. I didn't play that, but he might. He probably would be there because that whole game is just like character swaps. You know, no, not nostalgia. Asset reuses. You know,
Street Fighter 5.
Yes, Street Fighter 4.
Four.
Yeah. But yeah, good stuff. And then the last thing, I guess it's kept up with this. I haven't. Apparently, Elden Ring movie set photos have been appearing online.
Yep, there has been a bunch of Elden. I posted a couple of them inside of the private chat, but nobody reacted to it. But there was ones that were like showing the you know, what's her face's statue, and you know, this one they actually have you know, what's her face in it. What the hell's Amelia, whatever her name is.
Yeah,
the main chick that has the, you know, is the Elden Ring.
Shattered the Elden Ring.
Yeah, she is the Elden Ring. I don't know.
No, she's not the Elden Ring. Shattered it.
She shattered it. Okay.
Yeah.
Why is she breaking Elden Rings, yo? But yeah,
Queen America.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm waiting for you guys. Like, come on, guys. I'm not the guy.
Don't,
you know.
Don't ask me about the lore. I just play the game, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
So yeah, they've already filmed a bunch of stuff. I think it's gonna be maybe next year. The rumors are. But yeah, so far they showed some stuff, and it looks like it's actually like flashbacky stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's like,
wait, really?
So it's stuff before the shattering.
Hmm.
Oh shit! So we're filling in blanks. Okay, now you have my attention.
Yeah, because they have like, there's this one point where they have her like, you know, she's, you know, looks like she's talking to like a parishion or to her people. Like, you never see her in that game. The only time you ever see her is those statues, and then you see her at the end, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm in now. If we're filling in blanks, bitch, I'm in.
That the guy making it is actually a pretty big into Elden Ring, so I hear it's in safe hands.
I'll reserve judgment till it's out, because I've heard that before. The guy who made Welcome to Raccoon City, also allegedly a fan of.
He was a very big fan
of Resident Evil. That movie was trash. So
yeah, it says it right here too. Yeah, that this is before the shattering.
Yeah. So yeah, I gathered that from just looking at him. Like, yeah, oh, wait, how come she's cast? Like, you're not supposed to see her for doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. By the way, I should, just to clarify, Manny, they agree with you, but it's not confirmed yet. Yeah, but Polygon agrees with you. Like, this appears to be before the shattering. So yeah,
it looks it at least from the stuff. But then again, they also have statue, you know, those that crazy statue that you always see everywhere too, and like the symbols going down the center of.
Right? Could be flashbacks, right? So, maybe
it could be flashbacks, but I mean,
honestly,
what's up, bro?
Doing it that way would be the very way to do it, because it wouldn't interfere with the player agency. It wouldn't interfere with the storytelling. And I guarantee you, everybody, myself included, would be like, okay, now that I know this shit, I have to go back through and play the game again through this new lens. It's a way to increase engagement. Like, it's kind of fucking brilliant. Normally, I hate prequels, but here, you're onto something.
The thing about it is, it's like, you never, in the game, from what I know, is that you never really, you get bits and bobs of what happened before the shattering, right? You get what people say, you get a little the lore from the weaponry and stuff like that, and all the other items.
There's so many multiple things that happen, like the war, what's his name, Radahn, and you know, Melania, that whole thing with what is that?
Yeah, even the DLC like only kind of semi helped, but then it brought up more questions, and I'm like, cool. So like, this is where America's from. What the fuck is a shaman? Why are they in pots? Like, there's so many more questions. So I'm really interested. I don't know how it's going to translate to a different medium, though, because like, that's not how you tell FromSoft stories. But again, if it's a prequel, honestly, that would just kind of like be a really long intro cinematic. Like, you know, Dark Souls started with an intro cinematic. I'm not against that.
Yeah.
That's fun. Let me see. When is this movie? It's a movie, right? It's not a TV show.
Yeah. It's a movie, yeah.
Okay, because these days I can't even tell the difference anymore. And there's another scene of the dung eater being like people throwing shit at him at the gallows. I don't know who the dung eater is.
Yeah, nice. It's a flashback. Yeah.
Okay, so fan service. That.
Yeah, it says. He describes that. Yeah. It says filmmakers appear to be recreating the scene of Dung Eater's public execution as seen in Elden Ring's opening cinematic. Interesting. And this is, Queen Marika. This is A24 making this thing. People seem to like them. So when is
they've done some fun stuff.
2028, by the way. Yeah, 2028.
Oh yeah, so we got a while for that one.
Yeah,
that sounds like they're really investing in it, because if it's like getting filmed now and it's 2028.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Something doesn't feel right here. There's a disturbance in the Force.
What's the Force? What's the Force say?
The Force.
It whispers of Elden Ring 2.
Maybe.
So yeah, we haven't heard anything. You think that they might do a coincide?
Well, I thought there was another DLC coming. I thought there was.
There is?
Yeah.
I thought that got canceled. But I might have gotten pulled for.
And I'm not going to parallel anything Hollywood's doing with what FromSoft.
No. I'm thinking is, it doesn't sound like they want to necessarily let the franchise die, and this is the first time. Like, they'd be silly not to ride that wave. So obviously they're going to come out with another Elden or another Souls game.
Yeah.
Duh. But I think Elden Ring may be expanding from single title and multi-title IP now.
Maybe. I guess we'll have to see. But yeah, interesting stuff. So yeah, 2028. We'll see if they do this thing justice or not. Because it could be crap. it's Hollywood, And I believe that is it. Yeah, we're done. Good stuff. Let's plug some things. I'll start this weekend. We will have the final, not the final, but it's a season finale episode of the Invincible podcast. We're going to talk about the season finale of the show over on the Coalition Entertainment YouTube channel. That'll be me, Chris, Rich, Carlos, and Dana. I expect a lot of interesting discussions as usual. So stay tuned for that. And go watch Invincible. The show's fucking awesome. Rich, what else is coming up on the Coalition this weekend that you're allowed to talk about? Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. Is he around? He may not be around. All right. We'll circle back then. Manny, what you got going?
As of right now, just a couple of things that are still haven't been announced yet. Only thing I got right now is the Boston Celtics cheer cards, which are currently on the streets right now. So if you're out in the Boston world, unfortunately, Richard Bailey Jr., who is a Bostonite, is not there. He could have gotten one. But, if the Boston Celtics stick around in the playoffs, that means that anybody who goes to those shows will continue to get the really cool cheer cards drawn by Kyrie Randolph and colored by myself. It's a very cool looking comic book cover cheer card that says Boston Celtics. If you end up at any of the games, the home games, you'll get one of those cards. Yep, there you go.
Very fun. Rich, are you back? Let's see. Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. Going once. Going twice. Yes.
Sorry about that. Shout out to the coalition.com, coalition with a K. TV Terminal. Adam is covering every show except the ones that we watch.
Yes.
And peace out.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff.
That's a phenomenal question.
That is a phenomenal performance. Oh, by the way, the embargo for Sorrows lifts tomorrow or today, depending on who when you're listening. So make sure you ask us questions for the question show. Because Rich and I have played the game. So we will try to answer your questions and all that. But yes, and there's other stuff too that I can't talk about that I'm excited about. But you already heard me talk about this property tonight. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join a Discord gang. Shout out to the Discord gang. And follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Deuces.
Brett Murdoch.
Peace.
Let's see if we get him. See if we get him. Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. Uh-oh.
Get that trash out of here.
I'll take it. All right, guys, we shall return Sunday. Later.
Peace.